Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Good evening, everyone. This is Pasha Cook coming to you with another great show we have lined up today. Today, my guest is Dr. Mark Robinson, who is the author of Athletic Identity, Invincible and Invisible, The Personal Development of an Athlete. Many of you may or may not know my story, but I played basketball pretty much all my life since I was around 7 years old. In 11th grade, I lost my eligibility and quit school. At 23, I returned back to school on full scholarship and graduated from a two-year college and then went on to University of Memphis, played there and graduated. So I transitioned out of basketball a couple of times. The last time I ended up with an injury and just went on to try to figure out what was my journey after that. I didn't know what I was good at besides basketball. I taught for a little while, but I still couldn't find that passion. I was looking for that passion, the same passion I had on the court. So I went on this journey trying to figure out, well, what is that? What career is that? And I ended up in 2014 speaking for the first time at the WNBA draft and then decided that that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to encourage people. I wanted to motivate people and talk to people, but I had to come up with a business structure. And that's when I discovered in 2015 Dr. Mark Robinson's book, and it blew my mind because I really identified with almost everything that he put in the book because I went through that transition. So now I'm excited to have him on my show so he can tell us more about why he wrote this book and why, what is player development and why do athletes actually need it? I know my story, but I'm here with Dr. Robinson so he can give us a different view of that. Good afternoon. Good evening. It's evening. Good evening, Dr. Robinson. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So tell us about your book. Let's talk about the book, Athletic Identity, Invincible or Invisible, The Personal Development of the Athlete.
You know, the book, I got my master's and I got my doctorate in. You know, I focused on, you know, counseling the athlete, and a big part of my research was why athletes, we act the way we do, why do we feel the way we do, why, you know, do people look at us from a different perspective the way they do, why are we treated, you know, the way we're treated, and really the journey of being an athlete, you know, the ups and downs, the highs and lows, and over the course of, you know, playing, you know, basketball, I learned that There's different types of athletes, and in terms of how we help them, whether it be in their sport or outside of their sports, there's different ways to go about it. For example, in sport, you know, you may have a kid that, you know, really can take a coach who's really, I would say from a dictator perspective, you know, a yeller or a screamer. And there's other kids that they can't relate to that type of coaching. And the same thing holds true for the athlete when we're going through the many phases of development from a personal development standpoint. And I had looked at a lot of different research and read a lot of things on athletes, and none of the stuff really kind of resonated with me in terms of what I went through, what a lot of the people that I associated went through, what my research told me. And, you know, it took a while for me to, you know, come around to actually writing the book. I had did some things and just left it on the computer, and kind of one day I'll do something with it. And then a buddy of mine who coaches in the NBA said, hey, man, you should write a book. You should do the magazine. You know, you should get it out there because, you know, they're not doing it. They don't get it. So I did. And, you know, people seem to like it. You know, I try to hit a lot of different points in the book. But obviously when you write something just like doing an album, you don't want to be a one-hit wonder. So obviously we've got the second one and the third one on the way. But yeah, the first book was written and I had to get a lot off my chest to kind of, you know, seal the deal, if you will, on the fact that, okay, this is what I do.
So let me ask you this. So when I read the book, I really identified with going through that transition and not understanding a lot of your gifts and talents. So why do you feel like there's no focus in this area? I know that some programs do have personal development for students or some type of program, but in your book, you were saying they really don't identify with the athlete. You know, they don't identify with that personal development. A lot of that is some life skills, some training, stuff like that, but they really haven't really focused in on the identity of the athlete and how an athlete thinks. Am I correct?
Yeah, and part of the reason why they haven't done it is because the research didn't support it.
Okay.
The research didn't support a model of what the athlete's worldview looks like, what the developmental growth stages look like. So since the research didn't support it, it's hard to build something off of nothing. And so my thing is, you know, people always say to me, you know, well, what gives you the right? And I said, the fact that I got a master's and a PhD in the subject matter, and the fact that I was an athlete, the fact that I traveled the world and did research on athletes that have experienced this, gives me the right. And on top of that, I say to them, what gave Freud the right to come up with his models? And you can take a model that Freud or Erickson or any of these world, you know, psychologists that have put pen to paper, and that are in most of the textbooks that are used to study psychology, and you think they never looked at athletes. They never used athletes as their subject matter to study to say this is why athletes behave this way. So for me, I had to come up with a model not only that would look good in theory, but in practice. So over the course since 1998, I've been working with athletes, you know, on my theories and my models, and they've been successful, you know. And so once, you know, my buddy kind of pulled my coat and told me, hey, you need to start, you know, putting this out there, I had enough, I'm going to say I had enough credit and clout to say, okay, this is how you do it, and this is how it works. And, you know, I opened the door. Anybody who wants to challenge it, you know, please, let's have what they call the academic debate.
Let's have it. So what's the difference between, or is there a difference between the athlete that is domestic and the international athlete? Is there any differences there?
No, there's no difference. The difference in terms of the structure that we grow up in, an NCAA high school environment. They grow up in more of an academy skills development environment. But in terms of some of the things that we, you know, suffer off the court, the stress, the expectations, the pressure, the academic defeat, the success that we have as winners, you know, all of those things happen. It's a global thing. It's not just a domestic thing. It's a global thing.
Yeah. And one of the subjects that really intrigued me when I was reading the book is the entitlement contributors. because athletes are known to feel like we feel entitled. And so that was very interesting to me that you had a definition for the entitlement and why we feel entitled, because we play as a team. And I know that they say there's no I in team, but when you're promoted, so to speak, as an athlete, say for instance, you go to the pros, you don't go as a team. You go because of your talents and because of your hard work. And then there are contributors all the way down to, I mean, elementary stages and middle school stages that you pointed out, people that contribute to this entitlement. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I think you have a good point in that we promote that there's no I in team, and we believe that and we live that, but then when it's time to get a job, there is no team helping you get a job, you know, and
right.
you've got to sell yourself, and they don't want to hear what you did in high school, what you did in college. That was so great. They want to hear, what can you do for the job? What experience do you have in doing this job right now? And why should I hire you? The entitlement contributors, you know, a lot of people, when they look at the athlete, they say, oh, well, they're entitled. You hear a lot of people on these radio and television broadcasters say, oh, that's because they act entitled, but they never break it down because they are like dipping in someone else's lane, but don't know what they're talking about. Because the entitlement contributors are positive and negative. You know, you can have entitlement contributors who add to your life, such as teachers, mentors, coaches, parents, girlfriends. You can have all these people, but if these people are putting positive energy in terms of your development as an athlete in the three areas that I described in the book, your personal development, your social development, and your professional development, if they're balancing out those three different areas, well, then you're talking about a positive entitlement contributor. I'll give you an example of what entitlement means is I went down to University of Southern California and talked to their members of their football team. And I asked them, do you guys think that athletes are entitled? And because the word entitlement has such a negative connotation, nobody really wanted to admit that they are. And so I said, well, can any student come into this facility? And they said, well, no. And I said, why not? And they said, well, because you have to have a biometric thumbprint to get in. And I said, so think of entitlement from an athletic standpoint. They don't look at it like when you get a free pass to a movie, it says this pass entitles you to a free movie, right? It's giving you something that other people don't get. So athletes are entitled just because they're in sport, because they're getting things that other people don't get. So, for example, you can take the uniforms, you can take the trips, you can take all of the perks that comes with being an athlete. Those are entitlement components, you know. So when you look at it from that perspective, athletes are entitled because they get things that people normally don't get.
Yeah, but so that means that, I mean, there are a lot of people that are entitled then. If that's the case, everybody
exactly.
may.
Yeah, right.
yeah, but
well,
that, then it looks
you got trust fund babies. You know, you got look at Paris Hilton. What has she ever done? Well, she's really done nothing, but she's entitled because she's got a lot of money, right? So she's entitled.
Right.
You know, I mean, she might have had a little TV show or all that, but before all that, she just had money. Her parents had money. You got people that are trust fund babies. They're entitled because they have money. And athletes are entitled because they're athletics. Now, you can take the non-athlete who's just a student at a high school, and it's kind of like, well, what are they entitled to? They're in a public school. They're not taking the high school AAU trips. They're not part of the band. They're not part of anything. They're just going to high school. So it's there's a big difference.
Right. So why do you think that when people talk about athletes and entitlement, well, I guess it's just a negative connotation all the way around when people think of entitlement, because it really depends on the perspective of the person that's saying it. So so why do you feel like it's so important for programming, for colleges and high schools and so forth, to pick up more of the personal development of the athlete? Why is there a need for this?
Because the athlete dedicates most of his or her time to the sport. If they're not playing the sport or practicing the sport, they're thinking about the sport or getting ready for the sport. For example, right now we're in spring football, okay?
Right.
We just had football season, and then we have basketball season, and those same football players now are in spring football, right? And then they're going to have summer football, you know? So it's one of those things where athletes spend so much of their time away from the real world. You know, I bet you if you ask most college athletes, you know, as seniors, how many internships have you done over the last 4 years? They'll tell you none. They've not done one internship. So when we're talking about the personal development of the athlete, we're talking about helping them develop outside of the sport. And if we're not going to do that, then all we're doing is really, truly using it. There's not, I mean, a free education at the college level is great, but what can I do with that if I don't have something to put it towards?
Right. Because I know for me, when I went to the 2-year college first and I was transferring over to 4-year college, well, my coaches decided to change my major so that it would fit into my basketball schedule. So that was kind of shocking for me. But of course, as an athlete that's on a free ride, you're like, my focus is the game anyway. And luckily, I was able to utilize that degree. And I had interest in it, but they kind of determined what I was going to take, because what I wanted to take would not fit into my basketball schedule so easily. It would take me away from practice, or maybe take me away from, well, basically it would take me away from practice and maybe a couple games, something like that. So we really are just focused on the game, because you want to You want to be a winner. You know, you want to give your all, and they tell you teamwork and teamwork and teamwork. And so I guess a lot of us have gone through that. And I was just one of the people that was blessed enough to be able to utilize my degree, because I had started school at an older age, you know. But I can understand someone coming out of there and having not, you have regular students coming out of college that don't know what to do. And here you have this athlete that's been playing this game, you know, since like me, 7 or 8 years old. That's all you know. That's all you know.
Right. And, yeah. and the thing about it is, you're an athlete and you're coming out of the gate, and there's a non-athlete that's coming out of the gate. You're both sitting at the table, and the non-athlete has 4 or 5 internship jobs, and you're sitting there with the fact that, oh, I played in the Cotton Bowl, you know, or I was all SEC. Okay, well, what does that mean? What kind of experience do you have in social media or marketing or sport management? Well, I don't know. They just told me that if I came down here, you know, you guys are hiring. Well, that's not how it works. And so from a personal development standpoint, that's one area. You know, that's just one area where we talk about the careers. But some of the bigger areas, some of the marquee areas now, we're looking at the DUIs, the sexual assault, the domestic violence. We're looking at all of these things, the suicide. We're looking at the recreational drug use to now dependent. You know, we're looking at all of these things, to relationship issues, the fatherhood issues. You know, I deal with some guys that are at the NBA level. And one of the issues that they have is they're away on the road 82 games or 41 games, to the point where when it's time for them to stop playing or the season's over, you know, it's like, wow, you know, this is what it's like being a dad all the time. You know, you get some NBA guys and they bring their kids with them and they're good with them. But then you get those others, you hear these stories about, oh, he's got 5 different kids in 3 different cities. And that's a relationship issue. You know, that's a relationship issue of that falls into that athletic identity component, and that's negative entitlement, you know, which if we look at it in a bigger scheme of things, who's teaching you about being a man in college? Because you learn some things from sport about manhood in terms of being tough. That's a manhood trait. You learn some of those things, but what do you learn about, you know, adulthood, about responsibility? If you're on scholarship, you're not paying any bills. You know,
right. So how do you feel like this affects the women athletes? Because, you know, most of the time talking about athletes and problems, we're really truly usually focused on the professional male athlete. Women, I feel like, sometimes get left out of the picture. And I understand it because, you know, there's more money involved when it comes to the men in certain areas, you know, college basketball, pro basketball, stuff like that. So how do you feel like this affects the women? I know that there are some similar effects, but are there any different effects that you
know? I think with the different effects, you know, I think it's across the board, you know.
Okay.
I work with female athletes just like male athletes, and one of the bigger things with female athletes is that isolation, is that loss of the team. You know, you're in a team for so long, and then as a female, you may leave that school, that state or city, and then go to another state or city, and then you don't have any friends. So the isolation part is across the board. I think one of the things that we are starting to see in the male game, that's always been in the female game, is the whole thing with gays and the teammates. Because with women, you know, and I dealt with this before, and you and I talked about this maybe so many weeks ago, but, you know, I look at it from a perspective when I'm dealing with a client and she says to me, well, you know, I don't feel comfortable in the locker room or on the road with this particular university, so I wanted to transfer because I'm not gay and most of my teammates were, and I just didn't want to be around it. Well, that's something that the men really haven't had to really deal with, you know, up until more recently. It's something that when I look at it, I think, well, you know, is that an issue? Well, from the man's perspective, it's not really, you know, we're just going to get on with it, you know. But obviously for this female and a couple others, you know, they look at it a little bit differently. But for the most part, what do I do now after I finish playing is universal. The females and the males both do it. Now, depending on your demographic, your family status, your color, because that plays into it, you know. You may be blonde and blue-eyed, which means that you're not going to have a quicker fix, but it may be a little bit easier for you down the road, you know, with that perseverance. I've had guys who tell me, you know, getting out that were that are African American, they will say, well, you know, I didn't realize I was black till I finished playing.
Hmm.
You know, that's when I realized I was black, because when I was at the predominantly white institution, nobody really, you know, treated me different. But now that I don't have the jersey on and all that stuff, I'm a little bit, you know, offended by how people treat me. And it's like, well, you know, it's not about being black. It's about the fact that you had that athletic realm and now you don't have it anymore. And your lack of confidence, it kicks in. You know, people question, a lot of athletes question whether or not they can have that fulfillment, that success that they once had.
Yeah, I went through that. I got a caller on here. Let me see if this caller has something to say. Caller with number, area code, starting 609. Hello, do you have a question?
Hey there, Pasha. It's Tamara.
Hey, Tamara. So this is Tamara, Dr. Mark. This is Tamara Cosley Robinson.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you? Pasha and I have been reading up and we're going to be doing some work together in this space. And I'm just really intrigued by this conversation. And I do have a question.
Okay.
You guys were talking about entitlement earlier. And, you know, I think one of the things that makes things a little bit more interesting and or even more difficult for a student athlete is that, yes, entitlement means that I have access to something that you don't. But I think people from the outside looking in feel like athletes get more than enough. And maybe it's a facade, or maybe it's true, I don't know. But it's almost as if, well, you had enough and we don't feel like we want to give you any more than a little bit more.
Right.
Or maybe
not
even anything. It's like, well, go fend for yourself, right? So when you have these NBA players and, you know, you see these stories, so-and-so is working at McDonald's now, and people are like, well, you know, why should I feel bad for him? Well, you know, if he didn't understand how to manage money and all of these other things that goes along with just living life that most of us learn, but that athletes don't, because their work is the game, people don't understand that.
Yeah. So what's the question?
Oh, that wasn't my guess. It's more like a statement. How about that?
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So I know that, and we had this conversation, you said up until like 2.5-3 years ago, people were like thinking you were crazy. Like, what is this thing? I don't know exactly what they said. Some paraphrases or whatever. But I know for sure that social media has played a big part in why this needs to be more of a conversation now more than ever, especially with the high school level, middle school level. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I believe that, and I'll probably write an article about this here in the coming days, but I believe that what we're seeing now in athletics at the college pro level, and it's trickling down out to the high school level, this is what you would call like 1.0, you know, 2.0, 3.0, 4.0. It's all coming because as technology continues to increase and as our young people continue to veer off a path of what I consider to be a focus, you know, what's funny to this generation would not even been acceptable to previous generations.
Yep.
You know, this whole, you know, you can get on a Facebook or a World Star Hip Hop and you can see people just beating each other to death. Okay. And you got people videoing it, filming it, thinking it's the funniest thing ever that somebody's sitting there getting beat up by 3 or 4 different people, males, females. And so this is just only the beginning of what we're going to see. And when I first started and I would call schools and let me get on your campus, I just did all this research. I know what you know athletes need to hear. I know what the program looks like. I know what the curriculum looks like. Oh, no, they kept saying, oh, no, it's the other guy. We're good. And then social media hit in, and then now everybody's dirty laundry is exposed. You go to arrestnation.com, which I go to every day, to get my little stories in terms of who's been arrested today, you know, who's going to be arrested tomorrow. And you look at it, the stats by school. And you can still call those schools and say, hey, you know what, why don't we come to campus and bring something different? And because coaches are so skeptical about who they bring to campus, because the folks in the athletic department are so concerned about losing their job that somebody may come in and show them up, the athletes are the ones that suffer, you know, because they'll say, oh, that was just one athlete, and he was a problem. Well, if he was a problem and you knew he was a problem before you got locked up, weren't we doing the right thing to help him? You know, it's
right.
Kind of like we'll let them fend for themselves and we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope they don't get in trouble. And another thing that I'll add is that when you're working with athletes, you have to understand that these people who are currently working with athletes aren't working with athletes in the capacity of the personal development. They're academic counselors, okay?
Yeah.
So they're working with them on the academics to make sure you're eligible. You will very rarely find someone who says, we're very concerned with the personal development. They'll call it life skills or student-athlete development. Well, I've seen a lot of programs, and they'll bring in someone to work on dining etiquette. We're going to have a dining etiquette session. And I'm like, do you know these kids are going to end up eating at Burger King, right? You know that. So why are you concerned with where the fork and the spoon and the knife goes, and you're paying someone, and you can go online and YouTube a video and play that for them? But what they do, they make a big dog and pony show of it, and they bring the food in, and the kids are going to come so they can eat, and they can say, now, this is your soup spoon, and this is your salad fork, and this is the knife you use for the bread for your hard, stale rolls. Okay, that is not helping them from a personal development standpoint, because they have to be more confident in themselves when they leave the institution before they even get to that type of environment.
Right.
So for me, I look at what's going on, and I say that it's just, we're just at the break of dawn in terms of how far this thing is going to go. The high school kid, God help him or her, because, it's a matter of, well, I don't have a lot of followers and not as many as her, and, my coach doesn't like me, and, my mom doesn't want to give me my own credit card, and I don't get the new iPhone. And it goes across the board. And if you look at it from another perspective, you got the kid that says, I should be entitled to have the new iPhone, so I'm just going to go steal mine. We've been driven, and I'll go back to the materialistic part, and that's what I call it when you say athletes are given enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only
mm-hmm.
thing that the athlete is given is what the entitlement contributors believe they need so the coaching and the program can be successful.
Right.
You see, that's all the stuff. That's the only thing they're given, okay? Because they're not giving them any quality development so the athlete can be successful. Now, if you happen to be a great athlete, then we're giving you everything that you need to be a great athlete. But we know there's not a lot of great athletes out there that are going to go pro, right?
Right.
So the clothes, the trips, the this, the that, all the stuff that an athlete is given, if you take it and look at it and write it down, it's all materialistic, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing of substance that they can take with them. You tell an athlete, hey, we're going to have a workshop for the next 35 minutes on how to change a diaper. Right? And some people think, why would I? Because these are men, okay? These are men, and you know what? And with any luck, they'll be fathers, and they'll be great fathers, but why can't we just give them a little sample of what, the little fella needs to be wrapped up, or this is what you're going to be doing, changing these diapers.
Mm-hmm.
But,
right.
But we don't talk about it. You know, we don't talk about those things that are just, like you say, you got to learn on your own. So, people say, well, the non-student athletes should get the same service. I don't disagree with that. But the non-student athlete, if the non-student athlete doesn't want to go to work on Friday night, they call in sick, say, I'm not going, right? Let the athlete tell coach, hey, coach, I'm not coming to practice today, okay? I'll see you guys tomorrow. Oh, no, 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 no. You're going to get your tail over.
I've been there.
You're going to get your tail over here right now.
How many suicides did you run?
Yeah, exactly.
Man, I did that.
You better be suicidal.
Coach. Man, my coach had me running. We had two-a-days. I had to run an hour before practice. I mean, she had a legal pad of two pages full of stuff that I had to do before practice.
Yep.
Then I had to practice. Then I had to have a meeting with her. I was like, okay. But, Mike, this is what I want to know. What can we tell? Because at the high school and collegiate level, if we're not really getting through to through to the institution all the time or the athletic director or the coach. Let's get through to the parents. What would you say to the parents of these athletes? You have a platform right now. What are you going to say to them?
I would say that the parents need to, one, go buy that book so they understand what they're dealing with. And number two, they need to try and figure out how they can have someone on campus to discuss with other parents the magnitude of the personal development needs of an athlete. And I'll give you an example. Kid goes and starts from middle school and he goes to high school and he's an athlete. He doesn't make the baseball team. Starts hanging with the social crowd, starts doing drugs. Mom and dad call me up and say, can you come talk to him? You know this kid. You coach this kid. I said, yeah, sure. Everything. I said, what was the problem? Everything was fine until he got to high school. What happened when he got to high school? Well, he tried out for the basketball team, didn't make it. Well, that's because when he was in middle school, you had him playing in an environment where he thought he was better than he was. You know, you had him playing with the lowest level talent, and you kept telling him how great he was, and you got all these AAU trophies all over the house, and now he can't even make his high school team. And so, you know, you wonder why he's doing crystal meth. You see, you wonder why he's changed so much. Well, he's changed because he lost his identity and didn't have another one to gravitate towards. And so he figured, I just gravitate towards the one with the cool kids. You know, I've never been a nerd. I've always been an athlete, and athletes aren't nerds. So the next closest thing, and we say this all the time, is, you know, basketball players want to be rappers, and rappers want to be basketball players because they're both in the same realm. You know, everybody's cool.
Right.
So if I can't be one or the other, then I'm going to be with the party. You see, I'm going to be with the party now. And so that's what I would say to them. And I would tell them to come on, you know, a Twitter chat, you know, on Wednesdays for the athletic idea Twitter chat and ask some questions.
Well, tell them about the Twitter chat real quick. It's on Wednesdays at what time?
Wednesdays, 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time for 30 minutes. I take questions via email or obviously on Twitter. And I just answer questions because I think the forum, the social media component, especially for the athlete, it's in their pocket. Everybody's walking around with the Twitter, they're on Twitter all day. And I said, you know what, I'm going to move in a direction that will allow me to communicate and pop and connect with people very quickly, instantly, without obviously wasting a lot of their time or wasting a lot of my time. And hopefully it can grow and it can go from 30 minutes to an hour, or I can do 30 minutes on Wednesday and then add another 30 minutes on a Friday. But right now, I just want to keep the movement going because I think it's important.
So how do you get started in this personal player development if you're interested in doing what you do?
The first thing you got to do is read the book. Because
I'm on my second time reading the book, so what else?
The first thing you got to do is you got to read the book. And then once you read the book, by the time people read the book, and I knew people out there were thirsty for how do I do it? You know, because last 2 years, I got so many emails and calls about how do you do what you do? How do you do it? You're not going to say, just wait for the book. Now the book's out and people can look at it. And now we're going to move into the next, I'm going to say that over the next 60 days, put the whole training kit out there, get the webinars going, and then we'll train them. You know, we'll train them to do this just like they train folks to do the life coaching. We'll train them to be the personal player development consultant. We'll tell them where jobs are. We'll tell them what you need for a job, degree-wise. And there's a lot of opportunities out there for people, and it's almost like a sales job because you got to knock on some doors. Because these people don't even know that they have to have it. They don't even know they need it. So you knock on some doors, you know, the Boys and Girls Club, the Y, the Youth League, the Pop Warner League, all these areas, you go there and you ask them, what are you doing about personal player development? They'll look at you and say, what do you mean? And right there, you know, oh, y'all don't have it. And let me show you what I can do. Let me bring this program to your environment. You know, let's sign a 3-year contract that I come in and do the curriculum for you over the next 3 years, and let's then see how the students and the parents like it. That's just where it's going. So they got to read the book and give me 60 days, and then we can roll this training thing out.
Yeah, I'm going to be knocking your door down. Just don't worry about it, okay? So I'm going to knock your door down.
Good stuff.
60 days, probably 59 and a half. I'm saying, are you still on?
That's right.
Well, we thank you for joining us and for coming on, Dr. Mark Robinson. I know you have a busy schedule out there in California. I wish I was out there with you. But you guys,
you don't wish you were with me. I'm looking at 20 kids. You don't wish you was here right now. I'm looking at 20 kids that are looking at me, that are waiting for me to go in there and give them their little basketball practice, and they all snot nose.
Just the weather. But the book again is called Athletic Identity: Invincible and Invincible and Invisible, the Personal Development of an Athlete. So you guys need to get that. It's on Amazon. It's a great book. Like I said, I have so many highlights in it, I might have to get a new one. But thank you for coming on. Hopefully we'll be on here again talking some more. I know you got two more books coming out. I'm excited. Hope to get out there to California to see you and to work with you in the future. And I feel like this is a movement and a mission, and I'm on board with you sincerely.
Perfect. Good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Tell the kids thank you for your time. Thank you for being patient.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, so Tamara, right now we're going to take a little bit of a break real quick, and we're going to talk about Audible.com. Audible.com is our sponsor, and I listen to Audible. I live in New York, so I like to read when I'm on the subway to let the time pass by. But many times I don't feel like carrying a bag. I'll just listen to my books on my phone through Audible. It's a great tool to have. They're always sending me free books, and I appreciate that because I look forward to it. I'm always checking my email. So you guys, if you like a free trial and one free download, then go to audibletrial.com. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. Again, audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. You get a free trial and a free download. If you don't want it, just sign me up because I'll just download that tomorrow. I have plenty of books I want to listen to. I'm trying to build up a huge library on my phone and in my house. So check that out. Tamara, thank you for calling in, man. I miss you. Like, I haven't talked to you.
I know. I was a little late, but, you know, I said I had to make sure, so I got off the phone pronto. And really enjoyed that 30 minutes. My goodness, so many things covered in that shorter period of time. And this is such important work, so I'm glad we're doing it. I'm glad we're in this space.
I felt like it wasn't enough. I wanted to spend more time with him. He has so much information. But, you know, I'm really happy that someone is getting out there and talking about this because I went through it. I went through it, and we haven't even begun to talk about, you know, if you have other things going on, because we all have other issues going on as well that contribute to this. So, you know, just imagine coming out of a sport after years and years and years focusing on this thing. And another thing we didn't cover is the injuries. Like, you go through injuries. You went through an injury, a major injury as well, and that plays a vital part, too, in what you go through when you, especially if that's the reason why you transition out of sports.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And I think with young people, they're definitely more resilient than when you get a little older and you learn that the world is not quite as rosy.
really?
Yes, exactly. And I think the other thing is that when you're in school, I got injured in high school, it felt like I had time, right? And so, you can be an athlete and be a nerd, because I was kind of sort of in that category. I really did love school, and I loved the game too. And so my introduction to the game was definitely more around a confidence builder and finally something I could be good at. But when I was coming up, it never was, in my mind, it wasn't an option to do anything other than play a game, because there wasn't really a WNBA at the time. You know, I think when players played, there was more of a effort for women to go overseas as opposed to staying in the U.S. because, you know, when I was coming up, there was no WNBA. And so it wasn't a hard sell for me to be like, okay, well, I'll just continue doing what I'm doing over here. But, you know, like you said earlier, you know, for you and others that start when you're 3 and 5 and 7, when you eat, sleep, and drink this thing, and it's just a part of who you are, it's very, very difficult to see the world any differently than through that sport.
Right. Yeah, it really is. And I'm not even one of those athletes who wanted to finish up and go into coaching. Mm. If I'm not on the court, then I'm not sitting on the bench. I didn't want to be a coach. So I had to figure out, well, what else is there? Because many times they expect you to want to go into some facet of coaching, or because you played, or because you played at a D1 or semi-pro or pro, that you would want to go into coaching. And that's fine for some people, but it's not for everybody. And you really have to figure out what else you're good at. I think that sports in general teach you so many things. It teaches you leadership.
Yes.
It teaches you, it does help you with confidence. If you take what you learn and apply it to the rest of your life, it helps you with team building. You know, my team was like a family to me. So it gave me a lot of positive things that were going on within sports for me, or positive contributions. But when I transitioned out of that, I had no idea what I was supposed to do. Like, what am I good at? What's my potential? What's my talent? And it took me years and years and years to figure it out.
Yeah.
Years to figure it out, because that's all I knew.
Yeah. And it's so amazing, because we were talking about this a little bit earlier today. You know, it would have been easier for you to ask someone that mm-hmm. knew you as a player, potentially, what is it that I could do with what I know? Because they're not looking at it through your eyes. They're looking at it through their own. And, you know, if only our student athletes have those people around them, and I think this is the gist of what Dr. Robinson is talking about, the more people that know and understand this thing, the more people can intervene and put some things in place as the athlete is developing, so that he or she understands that, yes, it is a game, and, you know, there will be that small percentage that is able to make it to the next level. But there's this other thing called life, and there's this other thing called accomplishing and all this other stuff that you're more than capable of doing. And so that they know that from the beginning, so you don't have to be caught out in that I don't know space.
Right. And my thing is, if you love sports, and Dr. Robinson was talking about this earlier today, he gave me this visualization of placing a ball. Like, you got a ball, right? The basketball. That's where your passion is. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, for me, my sport. And you take a line and you draw a line away from the ball and back to it. And before you draw that line back to it, you have a box that you put. What is that passion that draws off of that? What's the other passion that draws off of that main passion? And what he meant mm-hmm. was that you could have other talents and still be around that sport, still be connected to that passion. Right.
That's right.
So for me, speaking and personal player development, you know, but it was speaking at first and helping other people. But then I decided I wanted to go back into athletics and focus on athletes.
Right.
Focus on helping them, focus on giving them what I didn't have. But there are things, talents within you that if you want to stay around sports, you don't necessarily have to be a coach or a trainer or anything like that. There are things in like he mentioned, marketing, media, all that type of stuff, finance, where you can help athletes with their financials, different areas that you can be proficient in, and it can draw off of that passion that you have for sports. So you don't have to – you're transitioning out of the game,
but you're still in the
realm of sports. And so I think many athletes would want to do that, just figure out what they're good at and maybe stay in the sports world, because the sports world is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge, you know?
Yeah, just like everything else. I mean, it's only as big as you can imagine it to be.
Right.
And if you think it's small, it's going to be small. And it is small, and so it is what it is. And when you think that it can be bigger, or someone shows you that it's much bigger, then you feel like you have a fighting chance and you can find your way. Because the other thing I think comes into play is, what's atypical of a basketball player? And, you know, nobody would think that a basketball player would be good at ballet. or, you know, good at music. I mean, there's so many things to a creative being that I find that most people who are creative have the have a musical talent somewhere in there. And so, but, you know, if a man is interested in ballet, then we have another conversation. Right? We have another conversation. It's like, why are we having another conversation? Why is it such a big issue? Because it becomes an issue of whether or not society believes that that is acceptable or not, or whatever.
That's a whole nother show. You know what?
I know.
That's a whole nother show. But you're right. You're absolutely right. But what, you know, my thing is, what can I do right now with my experience and with my education? And I've actually been talking, and you know this, so I'm going to put it out there. Two, it's so funny that he mentioned the Boys and Girls Club and YMCA, because I've been talking to both of those organizations, and I hope to be soon working with one very soon this summer, because they're actually, some of them are actually open to the program. They really are. And when I had a conversation today, the person that I was speaking to was like, you know, it's so funny that you mentioned this, because we're working with kids who are transitioning into college, and majority of the kids who walk through our doors are some form of athlete, you know, but they also wanted to be catered to those that are non-athletes, but they're really intrigued by it once you start to educate them on why this is important, because those people who really care for those kids beyond sports want to give them a fighting chance. And I think that parents also play a huge role in this, because you may see your son or daughter being very talented in a game, but understand one day they got to come out of that game. And it may be sooner than you think. It may be due to an injury. So, you know, you need to encourage them that they are not what they do.
That's right.
Adults have that issue sometimes. You are not what you do.
That's
you are who you are. And if you lose your job, if you lose the game tomorrow, you're still significant. And that needs to be the message. You're still significant. There's still something in you that you can do. You still have a talent beyond this thing, beyond this sport, beyond this job, whatever it is. So I think that that needs to be part of the basis of the conversation.
Yeah.
Don't tie yourself to what you do. That doesn't make you who you are.
Yes, 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 yes. That's so true. And that's so true. And I think the other thing about the type of people who go to boys clubs, right? So boys and girls clubs, I know that they're open to everyone, but it tends to be in those urban areas. Where kids need to have a place to go, safe haven. And so sometimes by default, because they're around places that, that there is a ball and it's bouncing, you know, or it's a ball and you get to throw it, you will get good at something because you spent so much time around that thing. So when you think about the adults and people who are truly giving, you know, doing God's work in my mind, to take care of these young people, they definitely need to have this additional piece of awareness that sometimes we don't think about. So, you know, the timing of this stuff is awesome. And, you know, as you know, just as we continue to connect with people, it's amazing. And there's no, you know, there's no mistakes in any of these things as to why things are starting to turn up the way that they are. And I'm real hopeful, you know, I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm hopeful and excited too. And we are in the prime area for athletics here in the New York area, New York City area. I mean, athletics and especially basketball is huge in this area. And we want to start, identifying, you know, the personal development area and talking about it more in these programs, within these programs, within these organizations, because we want to give our kids a fighting chance. Most of the time in those urban areas, all kids sometimes feel like they can be is a basketball player or a football player, like that's going to get them out of the hood or be an entertainer or something like that. But they need to know that that's, you're more than that. And I'm on a mission now. I can't wait till he comes out with the training materials, but I'm already training. I'm already starting. and going to be out here talking to these kids and encouraging them to be authentic, to be creative, you know, to enjoy the sport. The sport really was made to enjoy it, but now it's become where it's about money. You know, it's sad that things turn that way, but it's about money. It's about winning games and bringing the fans into the stand and making a whole lot of money for somebody. Right?
Yeah, about to say. We're not even going to talk about where the majority of that money goes. And I think, you know, the other thing is that any average Joe sits back, oh, that's the life. Man, I wouldn't want to live that life if you paid me. You know, you're never home. You don't know where you are. You airport to airport. You know, there's a lot that goes into that thing that's
mentally
just not sexy at all. But at the same time, it's the thing that we crave and we want to see more of it. So it's a double-edged sword sometimes, I think.
Yeah, but I think it's great to do what you love, you know,
get
paid to do what you love. But let's talk about, we're talking about mostly collegiate and high school.
Yeah.
But in the pros, man, if you get traded, you got to pick up and move your house.
Yeah, everything. The baby.
You might have to move your house 10 times in a year, in your career. You'd have moved to 10 different cities because you got traded. That has to play a huge toll on somebody mentally and on their family and stuff like that. Like,
it's
a lot to this, you know, and I'm not saying feel sorry for athletes, but I'm a former athlete and I care about other athletes. I care about the kids. I care about educating them and giving them an opportunity to succeed, not just on the court, but off the court. And that really matters to me.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
We're counting down. We have 8 minutes to go. This has been a great conversation, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're still up. For you guys that don't know, Tamara, usually is sleep. What time is it?
Bedtime is 9 o'clock. I did everything. I didn't even have a nap. So you got the best of me. You know what? It's Monday. If this was 9 o'clock on a Thursday, it'd be a different story.
Oh yeah, just beginning of the week, right?
Yes.
Right.
So this is the best time to catch me at 9.
I'm glad I caught you on a Monday.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for being here. So what are you? What do you think about this whole, you've been reading a book, been listening to the book. You have, you listening on Audible?
I'm listening on Audible. Walking, talking.
Look, we practice what we preach. So what do you think about the personal player development? What's your take on it?
I think it is of the utmost importance, right? So, you know, when you and I started talking about it a couple weeks ago, I was like, oh my God, I got to get this book. And when you listen to it and get into the nitty-gritty of it, and, you know, just like, you know, Dr. Robinson was here, man, it's just the scratching the surface, you know, of all the things that are, it's a trickle-down effect in so many ways. And his experience was very different only because, you know, there were people who were intervening on his behalf, looking out for him to make sure that he was developing. And that's what this is about, right? This thing is always about how can we help, you know, our young people to make some good decisions, and not just on the court, but academically so that they can have something to work towards so that there's something for them afterwards. And so I think, and I'm not even finished with the book. I'm just, you know, jazzed about it. And, you know, just really encouraged. And I can see just as clearly as you can see how this can be very, very helpful, you know, for our people coming up. But it's almost as if half the story is already written and you're just running behind the rest of it because there's just so many people who can be positively affected by this as long as they understand and know what they don't know right now. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even with academics, I mean, I dropped out in the 11th grade, but not because of my grades. I always maintained decent grades. And even in college, when I went back, I didn't know how I was going to fare. I had been out of school 5 years, but I was excited to play. And I got in there and I still had a B+ average, right, while I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
But still, graduating out of college, I'm just like, okay, well, I guess I'll become a teacher because that was my degree, but it was something still missing.
Right.
You know, it was, I still didn't know my potential. I still didn't understand what I had to give because I was just doing, you know, the teaching thing, not because I didn't love the kids or I didn't love education or educating the students. It just wasn't my passion. Does that make sense? It just wasn't that thing that I couldn't, it didn't feel the same.
You know,
I was happy. I was grateful. I was honored, but I still was missing something because I felt like it was a part of me, but it wasn't, I don't know. I really can't explain it. I know that I went through this myself and I'm so happy that now we're having the discussion because I didn't even know it was a discussion.
Right.
I'm looking like, what is this?
Yeah, crazy. You know what I'm thinking that you're trying to say? It was a part of you, but it wasn't in the heart of you, right? It was not in your heart to do that. And
sweet,
so,
sweet.
Yeah, hello. I may even be able to do that tonight. I might even be able to get that one in. That's
right.
Yes. Because, and you know what? That translates to everybody. That translates to everybody. You know, right now I'm doing what's in my heart and I'm having a blast doing that. And so even when you're transitioning out of corporate and all these other, it's still the game. What game are you playing? And are you going to be ready to play a different kind of game? And are you going to be prepared? And so, you know, totally different for the athlete for sure. But when you know it's not in your heart, you're not going to do your absolute best. You're not.
Right. You're not. That's right. You're really not. But I like that. It's a part of you, but it's not in the heart of you. Now I'm living out of my heart space. I can say that for sure.
Yes.
I had started living out of that anyway, just to be encouraging others. But when I discovered through my research that there was this area of focus and I began to read, I was like, wow, so this can grow. This can open my heart even more to helping those that I identify with their struggles. I identify with their needs. And so this is incredible. I'm so thankful for him starting the conversation, putting it out there and actually challenging people to say, hey, if you got something to say, okay, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Because he's very confident in what he's saying. And I believe that he said no one has challenged him yet, actually.
Yeah.
Because what are they going to say? What are they actually going to say? It is
nothing. Right. And he has the research to back him up for it, right? You know, it's always going to be like, show me. Because, you know, we don't believe anything that people tell us. It's definitely show me. And when he's able to show, you know, now what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's amazing all the athletes that he's talked to, the interviews that he's done from basketball players to football players to people in soccer to people overseas domestically. It's so many people who finally feel like, okay, we have a voice now. I mean, pro athletes, you know, we have a voice. Somebody understands because, you know, athletes are told to play through the pain.
Yeah.
And that doesn't just translate through physical pain. That translates through your mental pain. You know, trying to work through all of that because somebody told you to be tough. Mm-hmm. I know that for me, every day is painful because of playing all those years. Like you have aches and pains everywhere. I guess that comes with getting older too, but as an athlete, you know, that's another area that you need to talk about. You get so many injuries, you play through them, they don't heal all the way or they partially heal, you have time off, you're trying to get back in the game. It's so much that we go through that I'm just happy to be a part of this thing and happy that it's going to grow. It's definitely to grow because there's a need for it. And we are about to wrap up. You got any words you want to say before we get out of here?
No, I always love these. I'm so glad that I could contribute to this conversation this evening. And, you know, the only thing I can continue to say to our listening audience is, you know, whatever it is that you want to do, and you know, it may be that secret that you never told anybody just because you didn't want anybody to judge or laugh or whatever, you know, I sincerely hope that you can have the fight in you, you know, the player in you, the athlete in you, and everybody can be and is an athlete in one way, shape, or form, to just do your thing and just be you. You know, the world is waiting for you.
Yeah. And I would say, too, that we all have a champion living inside of us. I know as athletes, you want to make it to the championship game. You want to get that championship trophy. But you have a champion that lives inside of you that's waiting to come out. No matter where you are, you were born with that within. You were born with that champion within you. So go for it. Whatever your dream is, whatever you want to do, get out there and just put the rubber, let the rubber meet the road. Keep going. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Believe in your talents. Life gets good when you discover who you are. It really does. Yeah, you guys, thank you all for listening. All our listening audience, we'll be back with you. You have a show coming up, don't you, Samara?
Oh, yeah, I have a couple of shows coming up, actually. Next Tuesday, I have a pre-recorded show, and it's awesome. It's going to be a great show. We're actually recording it tomorrow, and it's What My Natural Hair Journey Taught Me. And it's we're going to talk about, you know, what it means for a Black and African American woman to not relax her hair and what it means to her. And it's not just about beauty. It's about freedom in a lot of ways. And then the following Friday, next Friday, we're going to be talking about authenticity and what it means to live an authentic life. And so that's 3:00 on Friday, the 24th, and this call that we're recording tomorrow will air next Tuesday at 7 p.m.
And you notice that her shows are early.
That's right.
I'm like,
I just
okay.
Get, hey, I normally do 7, but you know, you got to roll with other people. So here we are.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Tamara, for dialing in and being a part of this show. You know, I'll be talking to you very soon.
Absolutely.
Guys have a great night.
Have a good night, everyone.
Night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.